Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back again on Empowered by the Spirit and just as excited as we've ever been, if not more so, for having Marianne Greco, my beautiful bride of 45 years. I just gave her a kiss for those not watching on Facebook Live here. And she is so wonderful. And welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Katie Hughes. Always a thrill to have you on the show. Katie is so on fire with the Lord, so filled with the Holy Spirit, and is an evangelist and one of our key people, executives in Spirit-Filled Hearts. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you on the show.
Thanks.
And we have the show of shows here about a book that we've just written and a subject that is near and dear to our heart. And this is Expecting Experience Miracles. And I'm so excited that you're going to be able to get this book on Amazon, or certainly if you have us speak, we'll bring you copies and so forth. But it's such a critical subject of miracles, and it's something that our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, really spends a lot of time focusing on because of the power and the love of Jesus Christ and understanding when he said, in John 14:12, you will do what I do and more because I go to the Father before you. You think about Jesus. I mean, he did miracles like every single day.
We need to take that line seriously and start expecting miracles in our lives, seeing them and having them happen.
Now, the definition of miracles, let's take a look at Catholic Encyclopedia. Wonders performed by a supernatural power as signs of some special mission or gift, and this is ascribed to God. Now, so it's some supernatural thing ascribed to God. According to the Catholic Catechism, it's a sign of wonder such as healing or controlling of nature, which can only be attributed to a divine power. So there's a purpose in it, but that purpose is showing us how much we're loved by Jesus.
I think Jesus wants to get our attention, and one of the ways is through his miracles, because when he defies all things that are normal in our life to make something happen, move that mountain, changing something into something else, like the water into wine, he gets our attention, and we pay attention, and it helps accelerate our faith.
What's so amazing, you know, we speak all over the country and certainly in other countries. And often when I speak on this subject, I ask the people, have you experienced a miracle in your opinion? Because a miracle obviously can be subjective. It is something that can be debated. But do you feel you've experienced a miracle? Usually, I'd say 80 to 90%, sometimes even close to 100% of the people raise their hands. What do you think that is, Marianne?
I don't know. I think a lot of people experience them. They're not always anxious to share because they might be criticized for it or doubted. So I'm kind of surprised that many people would come forth.
I've been surprised, too, that so many people. But if you think about God's intervention in your life, you know, the old parking space comes up and you go, oh, well, that can't be a miracle. But
praying
it's like you go, yeah, you go around and around and around and you just say, Lord, I'm praying that this parking space opens up and this right here. And then all of a sudden you look up and the car's pulling out. Is that a miracle? Well, certainly you can explain it away. But for those of us who believe that God is intervening in our life on a constant basis, when we ask him to, those kinds of things happen. You know, an example certainly is our son Paul. And I'd love for you to talk about when he's 5 years of age and the rainbow story. And this is something that you could say, was it a miracle? Not a miracle. You and I believe it was. But tell us the story.
Well, he was younger than five. He was about four, I would say. And he was in special education, and he had learning disabilities and language disabilities. And he came home one day, and he says, we were saying grace, and he says, thank you, Jesus. You're going to give me a rainbow in 2 weeks. And Steve and I looked at each other and went, uh-oh.
Yeah, a rainbow in Southern California, like late spring, early summer.
Doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I mean, it's really rare to see a rainbow. So, you know, every day he kept saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the rainbow. And I wrote back to the school. The teacher was Christian. And I said, did you talk about rainbows? And she said, no. And I asked the bus driver, did you talk about rainbows? And she said, no. And we kept looking for rainbows, and we kept trying to supply them for Paul. But no rainbows. And we were kind of like, maybe he'll forget about it. But he never did. Until one day, we were all together, and we were coming out of this hotel, and in the sprinklers were rainbows that were just Paul's size. They were low. They were just right at his eye level, and he immediately said, thank you, Jesus, for my rainbows.
You know, and it's like, okay, was that really a miracle from God? Well, all I know is that I had no idea where those rainbows are going to come from. We walk out, and the second we leave that little cottage right on the beach up in Santa Barbara, we see, I think there's roughly about 12 sprinklers go off simultaneously. Each sprinkler had a rainbow in it. And when he said, Jesus gave me the rainbow, and look with that big smile on his face, I mean, what do you call that? Coincidence? Yeah. But again, those kinds of things happen all the time when you expect them to happen.
And Paul certainly expected it more than we did.
And so when we talk about miracles, the very first thing that we have to do is to be open to them by surrendering to Christ and understanding that we're one with him, abiding in him, and he will abide in us. Then our awareness of God's power, awareness that God is there to intervene in our lives, becomes so critical.
Yes, it's that childlike faith that you talk about with Paul, to expect God to act. And it's in the little things. Sometimes the little miracles mean a lot. So we should never discount anything that might be of God.
So the first step, my brothers and sisters, is that we surrender our heart, soul, mind, and strength to God. Let God take over our lives. And it's time to do that. Time to do that. This is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about expecting experience miracles. When you're one with Christ, when you're attuned and listening, when your eyes are wide open, it's really critical, because then you will see things that you never thought possible. Surrendering is the first thing. The second thing is asking for faith. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. You can explain away almost anything. Luke 11:13 says that we act on the faith that we have, because when we ask for it, God will give it to us. The Father will give it. If we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit, give us faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Matthew 17:20, if our faith is the size of a mustard seed, you'd look at that mountain and say, move from here, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you. So very, very important that we have this faith. Because without faith, then, you know, somehow if there's a blockage and miracles don't seem to happen in the same way.
You know, I've had quite a few women in my Bible study say, well, I don't want to bother God for that or ask him for that. And yet he wants us to ask him for little things and to have faith. And as Katie said, I think those little miracles build our faith as we go. So when we need to call on it for the bigger things, we've got a foundation there.
The other thing is really praying with this expectated faith, but praying fervently. James 5:18, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerfully. We pray in the Spirit. We pray the rosary. We pray in prayer groups. We read Scripture. All those things are really, pray with a prayer partner. All those things are so important that when we pray, then we can expect great things to happen.
Yes, when you have that act of faith, of prayer, and connecting with God and relying on Him, that's what He wants from us, is to rely on Him for every little thing. The small, tiny things in our lives, you know, the parking lot. Maybe it's a test for your child. Maybe it's something simple like, Lord, help me find the best fruit. As little things, He wants us to rely on Him for everything. And when we acknowledge God is in everything that we are doing, our relationship is so much stronger with Him.
There's no question about it. And when we ask Him as a child, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. And so when we ask, we do get. And when we expect to get, as it says in Mark 11, we will receive it. James 4:2 says you do not possess because you do not ask.
You know, one of the things in the story of our son that he did so well is he thanked Jesus ahead of time for the rainbow he was going to get.
Yeah, so I think that's so
really,
critical.
Really, that he came with that faith and he expected and he said, thank you for the rainbow you're going to give me in 2 weeks. So, you know, do we do that? Do we ask and then do we say, but he won't really do it?
So the foundation, abide in Christ, be one with Christ, surrender, ask for more faith, pray fervently from your heart, and ask and expect to receive. We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit. We're going to talk about 7 categories of miracles. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about expecting experience miracles with Katie Hughes and Marianne Greco. And I just wrote a book on it. You can get it on Amazon, Expecting Experience Miracles. We're so excited. I think this book is going to really help so many people understand how much God loves them. And if you understand how much God loves you, your whole life is transformed.
And then you make it part of your everyday occurrences, that you bring God into everything you do.
So these 7 categories of miracles. The first one is spiritual. Jesus, God, always wants to heal us spiritually. When that man, the paralytic, was lowered through the thatch straw roof, the very first thing, Mark 2:5, Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, child, your sins are forgiven. So he then said, pick up your mat and walk. So the healing came, but obviously spiritual is always the most important intervention. And we see that in so many different ways in our various lives. We've had this veil over our head, and then God comes to us and heals us of our sinfulness. We turn our lives to Christ. And there's that metanoia, that change that becomes so important. We see it happening, and we know that you know, and we've seen it in our lives, right?
Yeah.
We've seen it that we've been in darkness, sinfulness, and then God comes to us and says, okay, I'm going to transform you. For me, it was just living a lukewarm life. We see that in Revelation 3 when Jesus said, I spit you out of my mouth. I wish you were either hot or cold. He wants us to make a decision.
And sometimes we're looking for these things, and really the real miracle is in the spiritual healing, because those are the things we need to have healed first so we can have God in other parts.
Now, Katie, I know that being on the air here on all these stations and so forth, a couple radio networks, you don't want to get into your details on your life. But let's just say there was a time of your life that you weren't particularly close to God, right? As close
sure.
as you are now.
Yeah.
And you made that transformation. One could say, again, there was that miracle of healing, certainly going back to the sacraments. You know, every time there's a Eucharist, right? That's, you know, the body and blood of Christ is a miracle because God's intervention through that priest. But in one's life, there can be that transformation that I believe is God's intervention.
Yes. And a lot of times a spiritual transformation and that miracle of that God's intervention in your life is a slow process, and sometimes it's instantaneous. And for me, it was a slow process, and it's beautiful looking back on it and seeing where I was. And it's hard to imagine how I lived my life and how I lived in shame, how I didn't see what God created me to be. And once I lended myself, I was given the grace by God to be healed. And one of the greatest miracles was, you know, I was always going to Eucharist once a week on the Sunday, and that was about it. But when I went to reconciliation, probably after 10 years, that was one of the biggest miracles, because the veil was removed. I saw everything glistened. It was like just what they do in the movies. They make everything twinkle, and the light through the trees and the sun glowing, and the great joy in my heart. So that transformation, that was pretty instantaneous, but a lot of slow progress of being changed and transformed into the image of Christ.
So my brothers and sisters, as you listen to this show or you see us on Facebook Live, this is so important to understand, that when you go back to Jesus, go to reconciliation. Now, I am speaking to certain people out there, and you know who you are because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. The Holy Spirit is calling you to go back to Jesus through the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. It is time. I realize you're saying, well, I haven't been in 10 years. I haven't been in 15 years. It doesn't matter. Think about this, the prodigal son. Think about what he did. And the father was waiting with open arms. That in itself was a miracle story, in a sense of the fact that the father had forgiven that prodigal son. Jesus has forgiven you. Take advantage of it. The second point is environmental in terms of categories of miracles. We talked about the rainbow story. Marianne, you and I may have a disagreement on the number of dolphins, but there was a day that you were not up to your chipper self. We were down at the beach. We were riding our bikes, and you were feeling kind of down and bad about things. And there's a point in Newport Beach where there's a school and an asphalt that gets close to the ocean. And so we went, kids were not there, so we went out on the asphalt. And I prayed for dolphins to show up, which, you know, happens once in a while. But you kept going, why are we waiting here? What's going on? I said, wait a little bit longer. And then all of a sudden out in the distance, I catch this glimpse. There were, okay, here's the argument. I say there were five. Marianne thinks there are maybe two or three. I'm not sure. But they keep jumping back and forth. They literally were jumping right in front of you. That, to me, calling and praying, and then all of a sudden dolphins appear right in front of you. You get this big smile on your face. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, the neat thing is that the Lord can use all things around us. He can use things in our environment and nature to get our attention, to call us back to him. And they're out there, and we just have to ask.
You know, and I have a couple other stories. We've heard the rainbow story. I love stories. You know, so we're down in Mexico. They shorted us paint. It's Corazon. You know, you build a little house down there. And we had the structure. We'd painted outside. The only thing that was left was the sticky goo. There really wasn't any paint. I mean, I see it in my mind. Yeah. Inside the bucket was just the goo. We had to paint the entire interior. And that's all they had. There were seven of us. But I remembered, and this is a critical point that I really want to stress. Jesus said in John 14:12, you will do what I do and more. You will do what I do. Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes. He can multiply paint because it's not my power. So I said, okay, what to do, Lord? What to do? What to do? What to do? And I felt the Lord saying, add water. So they added water. They filled it up
really
with water.
Which is really a gutsy thing to do, because you told the people that came to you just to add water, and they looked at you a little, you know.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's like, okay, next, you know. And so seven people painting, seven paintbrushes. They start painting, and it's the same color paint as the outside. They run out of paint, run out whatever it was. It turned out to be paint. And then they said, now, Deacon, what do we do? And, of course, I said, add more water. And the entire room is painted. It's the same color as the outside. How'd that happen, Katie?
God.
God. You know, and these things happen all the time.
But we have to ask for them.
We have to ask and believe.
And believe.
We have to believe. Like that centurion, say but the word and shall be done. We have to believe. It's so, so critical. We grew up in Glendale, Marianne and I, and were there fires in Glendale? Unfortunately, brush fires and so forth. Santa Ana winds where the wind comes in from the desert, not from the ocean, and fans the fires. And there's a huge fire this one particular evening. And there were homes that were already burnt down and where we grew up, where I grew up in Shoal Canyon. And the firefighters said, you got to get out of here fast because we have no control. And the flames leaping 30, 40 feet in the air. But I prayed and believed because Jesus calmed the wind, because that was what's causing the fire. And I said, okay, Lord, you are the God of creation. You are the God of wind, the God of fire, the God of everything. I trust in you. I believe in you. I praise your name. And I started praising him and thanking him for healing the fire, putting it out, and in Jesus' name. And I left because I was told to leave, obviously. The next morning I come back, and at 8 a.m., and this was, I prayed at 7 o'clock at night, and at 8 a.m. I come back the next morning, and there's no fire, and no house is burned down. I called over a firefighter and I said, what happened? He said, well, we were shocked at 7 o'clock last night. No one predicted it, but all of a sudden the wind shifted and the fire burnt out upon itself and there was no harm to any homes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now you could say, okay, was that a coincidence? Well, I know I'm standing there and I know what happened. You know, in the same way with the dolphins, with the paint and so forth, these things happen all the time when we allow it to happen.
You know, we have a friend that used to say, there are no coincidences with God. They're just miracles that we haven't recognized yet. So, you know, I think we need to look at that. You know, is it really a coincidence or is it God's miracle?
Amen. And we have a new book that we just wrote, Expecting Experience Miracles. You can get it on Amazon. We're so excited about it. And there's no question in my mind that it will bless you and increase your faith and allow you to understand how much God loves you and that he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus did not mean to have miracles in at the time of the disciples. And if you look around the world, you see miracles happening all the time. You see what happened in when we were in Israel and we had that group from South Africa. And what kind of miracles were they talking about, Katie?
You know, the pastor was telling us that he was giving his testimony and how there was a young boy who was dying and was born without an esophagus and an anus. And the Lord told the pastor to tell the parents to pray at a certain time, sometime in the middle of the night. And the parents did that. They prayed fervently. And I guess the next morning when the doctor reviewed the child and examined him, the child had grown an esophagus and an anus overnight. And there's nothing to explain that other than God.
And we're going to get into physical healing right after the break. But they also had a woman who was in the cooler.
Yes.
And they prayed that she would literally rise up and walk out of the cooler. And they claimed that it happened. And I believe it. You know, these people were so on fire. God loves us so much. We're going to hear more about physical healings when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. We're so excited to talk about Expecting Experience Miracles. Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We've talked about what is the foundation of miracles. It is faith, 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 surrendering to Christ, being one with him, fervent prayer, praying and believing something's going to happen. How many times do people pray and they never expect anything to happen?
Right. So often they'll pray, but then they really don't expect it.
No.
And so we need to approach it like, yes, God is going to do that.
So my question is, when you pray, are you more likely to think something's going to happen to someone else or yourself? Oh, we know what the answer is. Most people think, maybe not you, but most people think that miracles will happen to other people, but not us. We don't deserve miracles. You deserve a miracle because many miracles, because Jesus loves you passionately, passionately.
Amen.
And, you know, I would think it's really important to share your miracle stories as well, because as we share stories with each other, like in Deacon Steve's book, you read stories of miracles, you start beginning to think, well, maybe that could happen to me, or maybe I could ask the Lord for a miracle. And so the more we hear other people's miracle stories, the more likely we are to come to the Lord asking for them as well.
So the third category of miracles is physical. We've talked a little bit about one, but there's so many that we've had in the last 39 years. James 5:14-15 says, anyone sick, they should be prayed over, anointed with oil in the name of Jesus. We obviously have a sacrament of anointing of the sick. But we who are baptized can pray over other people too, and God wants us to pray over them and to believe. In fact, in Mark 16:18, one of the very last things Jesus said is lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, you know, one story, a man had, a mass in his lung that they thought was lung cancer, and they gave him a 1 in 500 chance of living, and 1 in 500. He had deep devotion to Blessed Mother. At one particular mass early in the morning, 6:30 mass, after the mass, and receiving the body and blood of Christ, by the way, is always a foundation of holiness, but of also of healing. You're one with Christ. It's a great time to pray for healing as you're receiving the body and blood of Christ, and certainly afterwards. So we went after the mass, we went to the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes, and we asked for the intercession of the Blessed Mother, who loves to intercede for our healing. And he said he felt like flames of fire going through his body. Literally, his fire was like, his body was on fire from his shoulder down to his feet. Well, he goes in to see the oncologist a week or so later, and the guy says, I'm just speechless. I can't believe it. There's absolutely no trace of cancer at all. And this was like over five,
Praise
6 years
God.
Ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we see this happen all the time. You know, now, does it happen every time? No, because God heals the way he wants to heal.
You know, I think our listeners really need to, I encourage them to start praying more with their family members, praying with their children. If they have a little scrape in their knee, we can start praying for that to be healed. I had a story where our son had impetigo, and I thought, oh, Jesus prayed for people with skin disorders. I'll pray. And I prayed for him, and of course, he with his instant faith goes, well, it's still there. And I said, oh no, what have I done? Because I was fearful early on. And I said, well, give Jesus a little while. He woke up the next day and it was totally gone. And so we need to,
praise God,
to have those experiences.
Hallelujah,
daily
hallelujah,
life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no question about it, is that God wants to heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And Catholic teaching is that when we pray for healing, we are healed. It may not be instantaneous. It may not be in the way that we're asking. We may be healed spiritually and not physically. But whatever it is, God is going to be loving us and healing us. And we see this over and over again.
I just want to share a little story of a miracle. I was the sick child, and I was about 2 years old. My parents, we were in an isolated island in Antigua, and so if there was to be any sort of serious illness, you would have to be airlifted. It's quite a procedure. And so I had a fever that was going very high, up to 105, and my mom said, you know, call for the helicopter. We have to go head to the big island. So as my dad was dialing the number, my mom started praying over me in the spirit. And before he connected on the phone with the station, the fever was gone. And she said, hang up. She's
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So praise God.
My brothers and sisters, and this is so critical that you understand this, Jesus the healer, at the center of all healing, is love. Intense love. Because God is love, right? Mm. And so understanding, getting the embodiment and being his ambassador, which we surrender ourselves when you lay hands on someone, surrender yourself and let God's love flow through you. Now, What that means is, in particular, is you certainly can do that with strangers. But when you do this with people who you love, who you're close to, this is what's so important. And you had, in these beautiful little hands here, you had crippling arthritis at the age of 35, in which, when you get that young, pretty difficult to ever be healed from it. And they didn't give you a lot of hope. They put you on 16 pills a day at the time.
I went to a specialist, and he said, you have arthritis, and it's not, you know, going to get better. And I was taking all these pills, and Steve started praying constantly. It wasn't like an instant thing, but he prayed for a long time. He kept praying for my healing. And gradually, I felt that the medicine wasn't doing that much. So I gradually cut back to the point where I went off the medicine. And I was fine. I mean, I couldn't even pick up coins or anything with my hands. And so when I went back to the doctor, he just said, well, that doesn't go away. And I said, well, it does when you know Jesus.
You know, and,
praise God.
And it's just so important to understand that he wants us to pray for those people that we love and for everyone, but people that are put in your path.
And don't give up. You know, keep going with your prayer, soaking prayer.
Do not give up, and you'll see these amazing things. We see cancers being healed. We see blindness being healed. I walked into a hospital, and a man was paralyzed. They said, you know, they knew why. They say he'll never walk again, though, because they just, that was what, anyway, the family told me that the doctor had said. We prayed, and we prayed the rosary, and we prayed with expected faith. And 2 weeks later, he walks out of the hospital totally healed.
Praise
God, hallelujah. And we see this over and over and over again. Arthritis.
We can't put limits on God.
You know, blindness. I was at SCRC, Southern California Renewal Convention, coming up here on Labor Day weekend. And after the mass and healing service was happening, the celebrant said, if anyone has a word from the Lord, come to the mic. And I came, and the Lord said, I'm healing macular degeneration, which is this severe narrowing of vision in one's eye. Very, very difficult to treat. I pointed in three different directions in the auditorium. I said, the Lord is healing here, here, and here. Next morning, the celebrant comes running up to me, so excited. He said three women came to the booth and said they were instantly healed. Hallelujah!
Praise God!
Hallelujah! So again, you know, story after story, so important. Emotional healing is the next category. To be an encourager. I know for me, one time I was feeling really bad about myself, and I was at SCRC again, and God gave me a vision of how he saw me, because I saw me as kind of junk. And he showed me healing the sick. He showed me, again, Jesus the healer, but laying hands on the sick. He showed me giving food to the poor. He showed me evangelizing. And he said, this is how I see you. So God can come to you with that emotional situation, and it becomes so important. We were at the beach one day and looking at a group of young adults, and they were playing volleyball, and one kind of peeled off and started looking in the sand. And what'd you say to me?
I turned to you. We were nice and comfortable. And I turned to you and I said, Deacon. No, I didn't say Deacon the first time. I said, Steve, they need help.
And I said, but I'm warm and comfy. And I don't want to give up. And then another person came, and another person, there was like four or five different young adults.
Looking all over.
And they were
the
looking
sand.
Up and down, up and down. And it was, I think it was close to 30 minutes now.
It was quite a while.
Yeah, it was a long time. And you kept asking me, and then finally, what did you say?
I said, Deacon.
Deacon, you know, and
Deacon
I felt like
Steve.
It was God then calling down upon me. I said, okay, Lord, tell me what to do. So I stood up, and the Lord said that the person had lost something, because God wanted to show them how much he loved her. And so I walked up to her and I said, well, it looks like you have lost something. I mean, or misplaced. And I said, what's going on? And she's, you know, I had tears in her eyes, and she said, oh, I lost my watch. My mother gave it to me. It was like the most important thing to me. I can't believe I can't find it. And she pointed off in the distance where her other friends were, about 20, 25 yards away. She said, I think it's over there. Well, again, and this is so important that we, as Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. Remain in me, I will remain in you. And so I said, okay, Lord, give me direction. What's going on here? And the Lord said, and this is where it gets a little incredulous, but I know what I know, what I know. The Lord said, I want you to walk 5 steps to the right. 5 steps! And I walked 5 steps, and it was like a scene I will never forget. There wasn't one pebble, grain of sand on the watch. It was on top of the sand. And on the face, it was like a nativity scene. The sun was beaming off the face. And I pick up the watch. I walk the 20 yards over to her. And I said, let me tell you kind of what happened. I was sitting there observing you. And I started praying. And the Lord said that he had a message for you. And the message was to show you and tell you how much he loves you. Is this what you were looking for? And I opened my hand. And the watch was there. She goes, oh! She gasps. She starts crying. She said, I cannot believe it. I said, yeah, this is it. And I just have one question to ask you. Do you go to church? She looks at me and she says, I will now.
And, you know, it happened that quickly, too. I can attest to that. You know, the Lord showed him right away where the lost object Amen. Was.
And we're going to be right back on Powered by the Spirit to talk more about these categories of miracles. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco and Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about categories of miracles, having a heart open for miracles. And again, I have to tell everyone, we've just written a book, Expect to Experience Miracles. You can get it on Amazon. Just Google Expect and Experience Miracles or under Amazon or Deacon Steve Greco. It should pop up. So we're very excited about it. And I know it will bless you. And we're covering different things that certainly will be in the book. And we've talked about spiritual miracles, we've talked about environmental miracles, physical miracles, emotional miracles, but there's family miracles. And, you know, and this is where there are so many times that that people have addictions or problems. And I am not going to mention their names, even though I'm sure they wouldn't mind. But there was a couple who was going through very severe marital problems because the man was addicted to drugs. And addicted to pornography and all kinds of things. And the woman dragged him to our prayer group. And he didn't want to go. But he was obedient enough to go. And the miracles come when this man for 25 years had been addicted to drugs. And God healed him through prayer, through the prayer meeting. And not just of drugs, but of anything immoral. He turned his life to Jesus. He's an evangelist. He and his wife are part of our leadership team for our Hispanic ministry and Spirit-Filled Hearts. It's an amazing thing, and you know them really well, Katie, to see how God can heal families, marriages. So powerful.
And he does continue to heal that family with their children and grandchildren. And I think the key ingredient is, I believe in you, Lord, and yes, Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you all my problems. I trust in you all my health, my family issues, my relationships. And that's the key ingredient is, I believe you can heal.
Marianne, we can't give up when it comes to having challenges in marriages and so forth. And certainly we've had our challenges, and it was prayer, intervention with other people that helped us.
Yeah, challenge, you know, not to give up is really important, and to believe. And sometimes, you know, we can't do it all alone. And like you said, sometimes asking other people to join us and interceding for a situation in our families helps us. Because when we're right on top of it, we do get a little discouraged. We don't see it happening because we want it to happen immediately. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes a lot of soaking prayer. So, you know, ask other people to join you in prayer and expect that miracle will happen. Maybe not always the way we think it will happen, but God will answer our prayer.
So I would say to everyone listening or Facebook Live, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Don't give up on your spouse, don't give up on your children, don't give up on your family. You know, expect miracles to happen. Now, the next category of miracles is what I call intervention. And this is when, you know, something may happen in which an angel appears to you. You don't, may not know it. And take a look at Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect hospitality, but through it some have unwillingly entertained angels. again, you know, it's hard to say, was that an angel, not an angel? I was at Mass, and our kids were really small. And, you know, it's big miracles, small miracles, whatever. But I know what happened. And we're standing at the back because the kids were acting up. It was actually in a multi-purpose room. We didn't have the church built at the time at the high school. And I'm standing against the wall, and, you know, I'm holding your hand, Marianne, and my right hand is free. And all of a sudden, I feel someone grasping my hand, you know, as we're praying to our Father. And I look up, and there's this older woman. I'd never seen her before, have never seen her since. And she looked at me with fire in her eyes, with a big smile that just penetrated right through me. And I was struggling as a father, as a husband, as everything. And it was like, it's going to be okay, is what she was looking at me like, you know, as we're praying this Our Father. And all I can say is this, as the prayer went on, you know, I felt her hand, but towards the end of the prayer, my eyes were still closed. All of a sudden, I feel the hand empty again. And I look up, and it was just a matter of a second or two. She's not there. I look around. She's not there. We were standing against the wall. I opened up the door right by the door, and there's a long hallway. There's nobody there. No one's that fast. So was it an angel? I certainly think it was. You know, and these little things can happen all the time. I know there's so many stories of people that feel that they've had angels.
You know, I think we had, our son had pneumonia, and he was in sixth grade, and we had a prayer meeting in our house. And some woman came that we never seen before, never saw her again, came to our prayer group and was part of our prayer and encouraged us to pray, lay hands on our son and pray for him. And he was instantly healed of his pneumonia. And I often think that may have been an angel visiting.
Amen.
I have a story. My dad had just converted to the Catholic Church, to the faith. And it was Christmas Mass, and same situation that you had, very crowded. They were at the door of the church and couldn't even get in. A man all dressed in white came to my dad and said, "Follow me." So, of course, we all grabbed hands. I was being held, but we all went together and followed this man. And there were four seats for all four of us. And when my dad turned around to thank him, immediately he turned around to say thank you. He was gone. And we had front row seats during Christmas Mass. And it was his first Christmas Mass as a Catholic.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We were going through a hard time with one of our children. And I was at work, and I'd just gotten a very distressful phone call. And I was devastated. And I went back to my room at lunch, which I never do, you know, an off-site meeting. But I happened to do it that meeting just because I was so distraught. I didn't want to see anybody. And I get a phone call on my cell. It was my friend in Paris, France. And he was out on business. And he said, "The Lord told me to call you right now." 9-hour time difference. It was 12 noon, 9 o'clock his time. He said, "I don't know why, but the Lord told me to say to you that he loves you and don't worry." You know, he said, "I don't know what it's regarding." And of course, I did. And, but that's, you know, was that a miracle? Wow.
Amen.
For me, I mean, absolutely, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes we can be part of the miracle by being obedient to God's calling.
You know, and on those callings, the next final category is supernatural encounters. Again, we've talked about angel encounters. I've been fortunate enough to see a vision of the Blessed Mother, fortunate enough to hear a voice, locution at the Church of Miraculous Medal on Rue de Bac in France. And let me give you that story. That story was one where, if you've not been there, it's an incredible place to go, the Church of Miraculous Medal in Paris, France. And they have a communion rail. And I was praying the communion rail, and my mind was blank. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice, "I will give you the gift of poverty." And I knew it couldn't have been me. I'm not going to give myself a gift of poverty, right? Because the only thing I could think of was losing all my money.
Right. And you came back to me sitting back there, and you looked pretty pale.
Yeah, I was pale. Nice. I was pale. A little additive to it. That's good, though. I'm sure I was, because I was shaking. I went to the back row. I was shaking. And I looked up. I said, "Can we talk about this?" You know, I mean, it's like. But then I remembered the rich man and the story and scripture. And I said, "Okay. You know what, Lord, if you want to take it all, I will give it to you. I went back to the communion rail and prayed, Lord, thy will be done. Well, I came home. Actually, we went to Lord's and had a great experience. But then after that, I came home and we came home and I realized that God said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of God, meaning the fact that you have to give everything you have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wasn't doing that. And so he started taking away things, breaking me down to build me back up. I got fired from my job. We had massive family problems. Even had a death in the family. It was just one thing after another. I had sciatica so bad I couldn't stand. He was forming me to be a deacon. I went through formation and so forth. But it was one challenge after another. But through the whole thing, he was loving me and telling me how much he loved me by that encounter and giving me strength and courage to understand that when you trust in him, all things are possible.
Yeah, and we just need to remember that he's right there and be open to hear him speaking to us and showing us his love.
So my brothers and sisters, miracles happen on a daily basis. Expecting Experience Miracles. Get our new book, Expecting Experience Miracles by Deacon Steve Greco on Amazon. Turn your life to Jesus. Ask for faith. Praise God. Expect miracles. Use miracles to build up the kingdom. Tell other people about it. Remember in John 21:25, at the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, it says there are also many other things that Jesus did. If these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. One could say many, many miracles that weren't recorded.
Right.
Miracles happen every day of the week. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the miracles, your intervention, your love, each and every day of our lives. Increase our faith. Take away, Lord God, any blindness that we have, spiritual blindness, that we may see your love and see your miracles. Help us, Lord, and heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, thank you, Marianne and Katie. And God bless everyone and all of your loved ones. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.